Yes, you can study at the beach. In fact, if you sign up for Kinesiology 124A, you will be at the beach 7 a.m. with the surfing class.
Herzlich willkommen zu einer neuen Folge von Beste Zeit, dem Podcast zum Auslandsstudium von und mit College Contact. Ich bin Alexandra Michel.
Und ich bin Elias Merkel.
Und gemeinsam sind wir die Gastgeber dieses Podcasts, mit dem wir euer Fernweh wecken und euch dabei unterstützen wollen, eure ganz eigene beste Zeit zu erleben. Sei es in Form eines Auslandssemesters, einer Summer School oder auch eines kompletten Studiums im Ausland.
Auf die heutige Folge habe ich mich ganz besonders gefreut, denn wir hatten Chris Mefford von der California State University Long Beach zu Gast, an der ich selbst vor einigen Jahren 2 Auslandssemester verbracht habe.
Ja, ich fand das ehrlich gesagt sehr praktisch, weil ich euch gleich beide interviewen konnte.
Ja, und ich fand es schön, auch einige meiner Erfahrungen mit euch in dieser Folge teilen zu können. Das war echt eine kleine Zeitreise, denn ein paar Jahre ist es ja jetzt doch schon her, dass ich dort studiert habe.
Aber dafür konntest du dich erstaunlich gut erinnern.
Danke. Aber ja, es war halt auch einfach eine tolle Zeit. Und die Erzählungen von Chris haben natürlich auch nochmal einige Erinnerungen wieder hervorgeholt.
Das kann ich mir vorstellen. Dann wollen wir euch da draußen auch gar nicht mehr länger auf die Folter spannen, sondern springen direkt rein ins Gespräch. Viel Spaß dabei. Good morning, Chris, and welcome to our podcast.
Thank you for having me. I'm so happy to be here and excited to talk about my campus in the area of Long Beach, California.
Great. Let's jump right in then and talk about your city. I'm sure that people immediately have a certain image in mind when they hear of a place in sunny Southern California that's called Long Beach. But what is Long Beach really like? Does it live up to its name?
Well, it definitely lives up to its name because it's right on the beach and they have many different things going on right by the beach. The business district is right there with on the water. You have a large port, one of the largest ports in the United States, right north of the main city area. You have 4 miles worth of actual sand beach to go and hang out and ride a bike on or check out the water. But beach, yes. The California State University Long Beach is the only one that has beach in its name. And so, it's Long Beach. It does live up to its name. It's a beach community in some areas and a city community in others.
Yeah. So you mentioned that it's the only California State University that has the word beach in its name. I think, Elias, without giving away too much, that's one of the things that attracted you to the university first when you started thinking about studying abroad yourself, isn't it?
Yeah, definitely. And I maybe did like 5 minutes of research after this, but it became clear pretty quickly that I wanted to go there. So yeah, the name definitely played a role. I can confirm that.
And those 5 minutes were probably just spent trying to not find anything that might deter you from going.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, awesome.
Yeah, we're proud to, if I could add, we say go beach, you know, at the at some of our sporting events, you know, to spur on the competitors. And the end of all the messages, either from the provost or the president, they always say go beach. So it's kind of an inspirational saying for all of us.
All right, then, yeah, let's talk a little bit about the geography for those who don't know exactly where Long Beach is. Long Beach is actually pretty close to Los Angeles, and in fact, it is located in Los Angeles County. So probably more students know about Los Angeles, but how would you compare the two cities?
Well, I would say Long Beach is kind of like a mini Los Angeles. Los Angeles itself is like 30 square miles. It's a huge area, right? And we're in the, like you said, the southernmost part of the county, LA County. And, you know, there's some dirty, gritty areas up to the most glamorous areas. It's a very diverse, many different pockets, really. Long Beach is the 5th largest city in California, about 500,000 people, which really is considered a mid-sized city. But yeah, there's some depressed neighborhoods. There's some multi-million dollar mansions. We have it all, really. Mm-hmm. So it's about the same, you know, it doesn't have the Beverly Hills. It doesn't have, you know, the Malibu and some of these well-known areas like Hollywood, but that's within 35-minute drive. So you have access to LA if you want to go straight into LA. But But Long Beach is very diverse, one of the most diverse cities, and all kinds of different food and all kinds of different people to experience as well.
Yeah, I would definitely agree. I always thought of it exactly the same as like a mini Los Angeles. But what's also interesting about Long Beach is, as you mentioned, it borders Los Angeles to the north, but it also borders Orange County, the famous OC, so to speak, to the south. So what makes Long Beach's location, yeah, so unique, and what are some of the advantages of this?
Well, yeah, we can talk a bit that more. Southernmost part of LA County and the northernmost part of Orange County. And you're right, Orange County is a lot different than LA County in a lot of different ways. So the advantage of being near the campus, you can have access to Orange County where they have amusement parks, like it's 20 minutes from Disneyland. So, you know, how easy is that? Go to Knott's Berry Farm. There's a number of other attractive locations and touristy type of spots. You can go luxury shopping, you know, and some of the boutique style shopping places all over the place. You got South Coast Plaza, one of the largest malls to go to. But as well, Orange County offers some beautiful beaches like Huntington Beach, Surf City, USA. I could talk about that for a long time. That's my hometown. That's where I live currently too. It's only a 20-minute commute right up the coast. But you got Newport Beach and Laguna Beach. It's super beautiful. All up and down, there's even larger beaches and more beautiful beaches to go and explore. And each beach town really has its own character as well. So a lot of exploration up and down the coast, especially towards Orange County. But then they can compare, you know, how LA County is compared to Orange County as far as how new the buildings are. There are newer buildings down in Orange County. It's a much cleaner area to see, but it's almost super organized. So whatever you're into, you know, you can go and experience that part of how California has developed over the years. And you can see the older, more grittier parts of LA and that as well. So centrally located, easy to access both Orange County and LA County and all the differences in between.
All right. Before you guys get too carried away talking about the benefits of Southern California, let's talk about the university a little bit. CSU Long Beach is part of the CSU system, which is made up of 23 universities, each with a different location and a different personality, so to speak. We've had other CSUs on our podcast explain what's unique about their own campuses. Now it's your turn. What is CSU Long Beach known for?
Well, it's known for quite a lot. I mean, it's a large campus. It's one of the largest in the CSU system, and one of the oldest, started in 1949. It's the flagship campus. We try a lot of new, it's a pioneering type of atmosphere as well. We try new ideas. We're kind of on the cutting edge of the CSU system as well. We have 151 different academic programs to pursue. What kind of distinguishes us as well is we're ranked pretty high as far as, you know, one of the best values. Princeton University Press says we're one of the biggest bangs for the buck, you know, we're the most applied to university in the nation, actually. Over 100,000 applications came in. Wow. to come to our school. So if you combine a lot of these ratings, we're in the top 1% really in the nation. You know, if you're going to combine education quality, tuition, lower tuition, financial aid awards that are offered, graduation rates and everything else. We're pretty high quality compared to a lot of the other universities. And of course, the location. So compared to all the other CSUs, you know, I hope your students do their research and looking at the actual locations and where they're at. Because when people think, oh, it's Southern California, you know, they see a map. Really, it's a pretty wide and spread out spot. So they're not all like California beach of what you're expecting. But we are. We're, you know, within 3 miles from the beach. And we really have it all. So it's known for, you know, quality academic programs. Our engineering, College of Engineering, is very well connected to some of the local industry. We have one of the largest College of the Arts this side of the Mississippi River. It's one of the largest with the most offerings in graphic design and visual art and performing arts. What else? Steven Spielberg graduated from there.
Oh, okay. Is he still connected to the university in any way? Is there a Steven Spielberg studio or building or library or something?
No, not yet. But our film program is very, very popular, very impacted, hard to get into. But no, he got an honorary degree in 2002, so not that long ago. But no, there's no buildings named after Steven Spielberg yet, maybe sometime in the future.
All right. So the program for our students who enroll at Cal State Long Beach is called Study Abroad at the Beach. Very fitting, again. Could you maybe elaborate a little bit on this program and tell us, for example, who can apply for it? Is it open to both undergraduate and graduate students, for example?
Oh, yes. It's open to undergraduate students, graduate students, as well as gap year students who are interested in coming. Because we have a wide range of courses, you know, from lower division to upper division. And on occasion, we do also open it to grad level courses. So we've seen graduate students come in, business graduate students, as well as engineering graduate students come and take courses to their liking. But yeah, as long as you're in good standing at your current university, or even a free mover straight out of high school, we will welcome you here.
Okay. And can you actually study at the beach, or is that just marketing speech?
Yes, you can study at the beach. In fact, if you sign up for Kinesiology 124A, you will be at the beach 7 a.m. with the surfing class. Yes, this is surfing, and you get to know everything there is to know about surfing, and you do get to get out into the water and enjoy the sunrise and enjoy getting out there and paddling around with some of your classmates. And we have a lot of our students do that. In fact, okay. I was just showing some pictures during my presentation on Monday of a couple of the German students who signed up for that class, and they're loving it. You know, they can get down there and get in the water. And this is before some of their other classes. So they start the day in a very unique and wonderful way.
Okay.
At the beach.
Did your presentation include a picture of Elias at the beach? Elias, did you take that class when you were there?
No, I didn't.
You didn't? Okay, you already knew how to surf.
No, not a big surfer, to be honest. It was too early for me, I would
say. Too early for you, okay. Yeah. So you're more the skateboarder, or what's your fun sport?
I do snowboarding, actually. But that's
snowboarding, okay. But not at 7 a.m.
Not at 7 a.m.
No. If you're very ambitious, you could do a surf in the morning and then head out to the local mountains about 2 hours away and do some snowboarding. So you can do both in one day.
True. Crazy. Oh. And then maybe even throw in a class in between.
Then, yeah. Well,
maybe
or an evening class.
Bit,
can do an evening yeah. class. So. Okay.
Possibly. Yeah.
All right.
Besides surfing, you've mentioned a couple of subject areas.
Yeah. Well, we have an internationally accredited College of Business. So that's a very popular program. Business, we're known for management studies in management and marketing. We have a very popular visual and performing arts, as I did mention. And I did mention the engineering too, but it's worth mentioning again. But we have a nursing program. We have one of the largest College of Education where we train local public teachers. So public school teachers, as far as elementary school, all the way up to high school. So a lot of big quality programs here.
Yeah. So as you know, many of our students study business-related programs at their home universities here in Germany. CCLB is one of the few universities we work with that registers study abroad students in some specific business classes in advance. Can you perhaps explain what the process looks like?
Sure. So during the application process, students send in a wish list of 10 courses. So they've done their research. They see what we have to offer for that particular semester. And we take a look at that. And then we also, so we see what kind of match we can do, what kind of courses we can maybe set them up with beforehand. But we also have specific courses that we offer for seat reservation opportunities. So we advertise those on our website. And so students can choose, for example, international business or management 300. We also have marketing 300 or an advertising class, advertising. We have a finance course as well. So these are guaranteed enrollment courses that we set them up with. So they'll have that seat guaranteed before they come. And we have a very good relationship with the College of Business. And in fact, for this coming spring, we have 123 seats that are set aside for just the study abroad at the beach program.
So besides classes, I would think that the campus experience and student life often also plays a really big role in the life of a study abroad or a semester abroad student. For international students who are not as familiar with what an American college campus looks like and what it offers, how would you explain to them what a typical day on the Cal State Long Beach campus could look like?
Let's see, a typical day. Well, arriving to campus either by bike or bus from their apartment, they'll be like in a different world. It's almost like a small city. You can go to the bank if you like. You can go. There's a salon. You guys need to get your nails done. You can go to the salon. From there, go grab a breakfast burrito at the outpost and get your breakfast on, cup of coffee. Walk through the commons area, which is filled with trees and grass, big wide space, people studying outside typically, sculptures everywhere, you know, so you're cruising through the main part of campus, just enjoying art and nature, basically, before you head to your first class. Then in between classes, maybe you could go to play a game of billiards if you want, maybe even go bowling. We have a bowling alley there. From there, grab lunch at one of the many restaurants. We got a Chinese fast food place. We have a pub. We have that has, you know, pub type food, burgers and sandwiches and really good salads. And then from there, you know, head over to the library. There's a 5-story library where you can start off with another cup of coffee at the Starbucks right inside the library. Head up to the 5th floor and check out the view and get some studying done. And then on your way to your 3rd class for the day, if that's what your schedule's like, walk through the art museum and check out some of the art that we have. We have it's in the top 10% of the nation, I guess, as far as size and offerings in the art museum. Really, honestly, there's too much to talk about. It is like a small city, very convenient. You know, you can get things done there that you can't at a regular, you know, college campus, if that's what you can imagine. But there's too much to imagine, too much to do, and to be distracted by. There's a lot of places to go hang and study outside or inside. So it's a really atypical experience, I would say, even for other campuses around California and the United States.
Okay.
So it's a great experience overall. You feel comfortable. It's nice and mellow. People are in shorts and sandals. Yeah, you walk by a professor in a Hawaiian shirt, you know. So it's stuff like that you'll experience.
Okay. That definitely sounds good. Elias, does that sound familiar? Did Chris just describe a typical day for you as well? Or is there something that you did and then he forgot?
No, that does sound familiar. And yeah, it really does feel like a small city. I would sometimes go to campus, even if I didn't have any classes that day, because there's so much you can do there. It's a great spot to even meet up with friends. The vibe feels very relaxed. You see a lot of people walk around in workout clothes. So yeah, students go to the rec center after or even in between classes to work out or play basketball. Yeah, there's definitely a lot you can do on campus.
Awesome. You just mentioned the rec center. So Chris, I think the rec center is considered one of the highlights on the Cal State Long Beach campus for students who are into sports, of course. What does the rec center offer to students? Is there maybe something that was built or introduced after Ilya studied there in, what, 2014 or when were you there?
2013, 2014. Yeah.
Right.
Well, it's an amazing facility. It's a massive facility, indoor and outdoor areas. Of course, you got the fitness machines of various types. You got a running track. There's 2 or 3 actual courts to play either volleyball or indoor soccer or basketball. Speaking of playing sports, yeah, you can join. That's where you go and join some of the intramural sports or the club sports, where you can join in with other students, you know, more of on a casual level and get games going, you know, once a week or so. There's a rock climbing wall with instructors. So they set you up there. You can go in there and rent equipment. It's amazing. You can, let's say if you're going to go on a weekend hiking trip or a camping trip or even for surfing, you can go there and rent equipment for a very reasonable cost, almost nothing. If you feel like you need to go meditate, they have meditation classes, yoga classes. They even have a massage, a place to get a massage there. So outdoors, I forgot about that. There's a massive pool for swimming laps and a huge jacuzzi. And there's an outdoor area where you can play sand volleyball as well. So it's a place to go and kind of stress out, you know, get your stress out and relax in between classes again or after class. But it has long hours too, early morning till later at night. So you have faculty sometimes as well there working out. But Great place to go. There's a juice bar inside as well. So you can get a nice smoothie on your way in or way out. So yeah, we're proud of that place. It is definitely a highlight. And it is included with your tuition as well.
Okay. So you can keep healthy and work off some of the calories that you have built up by kind of eating your way around campus.
Yeah, around campus or off campus. Yeah, yeah, right. So good way to stay clear and stay healthy. Yeah.
All right.
Perfect. Yeah, let's stick with the topic of sports, because college sports does play a major role in the U.S. and at CSULB as well. So yeah, maybe it's not that surprising that one of the most recognizable buildings on campus is the sports arena where all the major sports events take place. Can you explain what that arena looks like?
Yes, I can. It's blue and it's a pyramid. It's an 18-story pyramid. It's a massive structure. It's definitely... It kind of distinguishes our campus from any other as well. It's just an amazing structure. It was built in 1993, opened in 94. It's called the Walter Pyramid, and it's a 4,000-seat arena for indoor sports. So we have a basketball team that has big games there, NCAA Division I basketball. So they're ranked up there, and they go against some of the bigger teams in the United States. So it's fun to go. It's almost like watching a professional game when you go to one of our basketball games. We also have a volleyball, top-ranked volleyball, men's volleyball. They won the last two national championships. They go there, so it's kind of fun to watch basketball. Women's volleyball as well. So great place to go. And in fact, we just had a group of our students, Study Abroad at the Beach students, go 2 weeks ago. We all met on a Wednesday night. We took a picture in front of the pyramid, and we watched a basketball game together. So that's kind of fun. That's an example of some of the organized trips or gatherings that we have for our program.
Okay.
To the pyramid.
And if you're not into sports, if you're one of those few people who don't play sports and don't watch sports, I think there's still lots of opportunities for them to get involved on campus. Like, for example, joining a student club. Can you talk a little bit more about student clubs and why they're so popular in the U.S. and specifically at Cal State Long Beach? Do you have any funny ones?
Well, are you into anime? How about the archery or salsa dancing? Nice. Really? Yeah, we have over 300 different clubs. They could be professional clubs, let's say International Business Club, International Student Club. It could be something just for fun, like I just mentioned, playing a sport. We do have a surfing club, a religious club. So we have all kinds of clubs and a wonderful opportunity to network with new people, to meet new friends, to, share, something that you like to do. And I encourage all of my Study Abroad at the Beach students to do that. I present during orientation week and show some of the examples of the clubs and some of the student testimonials of students who have actually joined and enjoyed their time, because you're integrating with the students and you're creating a study abroad experience that's deeper because you're meeting new people and you're enjoying yourself. So yeah, join a club. When you come join a club, whatever you're into, I'm sure we'll have some sort of club that's related to that.
All right. Did you join any clubs when you were there, Elias?
I mean, I didn't join a club, but I hung out with people who were in the radio club. So that was mm-hmm. really interesting. They have their own little recording studio. So that's a fun
that's
place.
That's how you got into podcasting.
Yeah, exactly. Back
that then. Kind of planted the seed for exactly. your podcast hosting career. Yeah.
Very nice.
So Chris, we already touched on the topic of surfing a couple of times, but I think we should get back to that, because I know it's one of your favorite topics to talk about and it plays such a big role in you shake your head. I know that's not true. You're kidding. But it's such a big part of the culture in Southern California, I think. So a lot of our international students try out surfing for the first time during their semester abroad at Cal State Long Beach, maybe in this, what was it, Kinesiology 124A?
You
mentioned.
That's right.
As an experienced surfer yourself, in addition to taking this class, what's the best way to get into surfing and what tips would you give our students who've never tried and who may still need to be convinced, like Elias, that surfing is a sport for them?
It doesn't really have to be a sport for you. I mean, you definitely need to try to experience it. You know, it's just an amazing thing. Even just getting in the water, you know, for the first time on a board and just getting pushed in or feeling the energy, the pure energy of a moving swell. It's just wonderful being out there. There's many ways to approach it here. You have local surf shops that rent equipment, and you have local schools, surf schools down this way, that'll charge you by the hour and provide the equipment as well. And I can give you the information. So if students are interested, a lot of times they ask me personally. I have some set up informational sheets for them and some tips for them to go and get either places to go to get cheap equipment or rental equipment or to go and find a school. So yeah, you can definitely go to a school and get the basics done, because, you know, it's not as easy as it looks. to stand up on a board is not easy. But even if you don't stand up, it's just going out there and having fun. Then as long as you're having fun, you're successful and you'll have a good time. But surfing really is a huge part of this Southern California. It's a subculture of California. It's something that needs to be tried out. And if you can't join the Kinesiology 124A surfing class, which is really a treat, because we have a coach named Pepe Poplar, and he's really surf royalty. He used to surf his whole life. His family grew up surfing, and his sister was one of the first world champions of surfing, female champions of surfing.
Wow.
Lots of stories this guy can, you know, tell you about the weather, about the waves, about the equipment to the detail, and have a funny story in between. He's a great guy to experience, and that's an awesome thing to do, the surfing class. But if you don't, you can try it on your own on the weekend and go down to the beach, you know, and give it a go. I sometimes pick up students and bring them down to the beach and give it a shot, because I have some extra equipment myself. But yeah, it's definitely, you know, it's something to really go for. And there's so many different. So let's say you get the bug and you want to try it over and over again. Unlimited possibilities as far as different types of beaches, different types of waves, different coastal regions to have in your background. So it's really cool. It's a cool thing to do.
Sounds great.
And besides surfing, traveling is, I think, also a big part of the study abroad experience at Cal State Long Beach. Can you perhaps explain why Long Beach is such a good and, I guess, strategic starting destination for students that want to explore California and beyond during their semester abroad?
Yeah, location, 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 right? Very centrally located as far as Southern California, right? As I said, we're close to downtown LA. So you can get to the LAX or Los Angeles Airport, the International Airport. It's about 35, 40 minutes. But you can also go to Long Beach Airport, which is kind of an unknown entity. It's a really mellow, easy to go through, pleasant experience, smaller airport. It's mostly for domestic flights. But let's say if a student wants to go to Vegas, you can take a 1 hour flight from Vegas, from Long Beach to Vegas. You can, if you want to go to San Francisco, it's a 1 hour flight to San Francisco. So it's a very convenient place. And that's a 15-minute drive or so from the campus to go to Long Beach Airport. As far as driving too, I did mention in my presentation on Monday that you can go down to San Diego, take a 2 hour drive to San Diego, if you want to drive to Vegas, you have more independence that way, I guess, 4 hour drive to Vegas from there, a 6 hour drive up to San Francisco. So these are kind of the hot spots that people tend to go to. A lot of students do travel on the weekends, but even just up by LA and just up the coast, you got, you know, if you want to go to Ventura or Santa Barbara, you know, keep going up to Morro Bay and then Big Sur, Monterey, and then Santa Cruz all the way up. So there's just endless places to go and travel. But as far as a central location to start from, Long Beach really is ideal, because you got everything there is to do in that area too. But if you wanted to travel out from there, as I said, Disneyland is 20 minutes. The mountains are 2 hours away if you wanted to go skiing or do some serious hiking. It's a great place to be. It's really, really convenient.
Right. You already mentioned Disneyland and some of the attractions near Long Beach. Are there maybe any kind of hidden treasures that might not necessarily be at the top of the Lonely Planet guide bucket list, but that students should absolutely consider checking out while they're in Long Beach?
That's a great question. There are so many. Okay, back to, let's say, the mountain. Let's say if they wanted to go check out a waterfall, there's this place called Forest Falls, which is on the backside of Big Bear Mountain. And that's only about a 2-hour drive. And it's a cool little community. It's a really small little area, but you go into a hike and you can see a really cool falls. But they got a nice little coffee shop there, a little breakfast place for waffles, and it's a nice little getaway. And nobody really knows about it. It's called Forest Falls. Another one, and it probably is mentioned in tourist spots, but I just love it to death. It's Laguna Beach. You go down there, it's like an art community. They got a ton of different museums of various sorts, but the coastline is like you're transformed into like a Mediterranean, you know, south of France scene with these hills and these great houses and these rocks in the coastal areas are really cool. You can go kayaking down there. So I have a buddy that owns a kayaking business down there, and he says, there's a lot of people that go down there in the summer, but off season, let's say in the fall, you can go down there and go through these caves and just check out the really wonderful coastline of Laguna Beach. So I would say that's a gem, not so hidden, but it's a definite gem. Oh, I don't know. Joshua Tree National Park. Has everybody heard of that? That's quite an experience. That's probably on a Lonely Planet list as well. But I know that just comes to mind. A lot of our students do that, and you can actually get a trip planned and join a bus of Cal State Long Beach students through our Student Recreation Wellness Center, and they organize trips on the weekends to Joshua Tree. So
I think most people in my generation would know Joshua Tree from U2, from U2. The band, as the name of the album. But I think when that album came out, I had no idea what it was named after. It took a couple of years for me to kind of connect the dots.
I love that album. That's one of my favorites.
When I first came to California. But you just mentioned Laguna Beach. And I remember I was in the area and I visited both Laguna Beach and Newport Beach. Okay. And I think those two communities, they're so close to each other. Mm-hmm. But I think they're worlds apart in terms of kind of atmosphere and restaurants and things like that.
Yes.
I don't know. Would you agree? And you as well, Elias, do you have a preference between the two?
Yeah, I've been to both, and I definitely also have a preference for Laguna Beach. Yeah, with Newport Beach.
It's a bit more upscale, right? It's a little bit more kind of snobbish.
Yeah, exactly.
Fancy.
Yeah. Yeah, and Laguna is a little bit more artsy, even though, as Chris just mentioned again, it looks kind of like the south of France. But And yeah, actually, I've been to spots in Laguna Beach that weren't crowded at all. I mean, it is definitely a tourist destination, but on some days, if you're lucky, you don't really see a lot of tourists there. I definitely prefer that place. Yeah,
definitely worth checking out.
Do you maybe have a tip for our students, Elias, a place that Chris hasn't mentioned, but that you visited or that you really enjoyed, a trip that you took, something?
Let's think.
I know it's been a while, but
I don't think we've mentioned Yosemite yet. I mean, it's in Northern California, but that's definitely a national park where the trip is worth it. So. Mm-hmm. And again, this goes back to the strategic location, which is great about Long Beach. You don't really have to decide. You can take multiple trips during the semester to all sorts of places, to Northern California, Southern California. I also like going to Mexico, which was another highlight of my time there. So, and then again, you go inland to Las Vegas and Joshua Tree and... Yeah, so many options, and it's hard to decide. But yeah, Yosemite is something I would recommend that we haven't mentioned yet.
No. Yosemite is just breathtaking, right? And on the way up, you know, if you can plan it well, you go through the Sequoia National Park, which
has... That's what I was just going to say, combine it with that, because that's, I found both. I mean, they're super different again, but I found both really impressive. And Sequoia with the trees is just, it's amazing. So
yeah, it's awesome. California, right. It's got it all.
Yeah.
We're very lucky.
We could probably talk about that for hours, but we're almost at the end of this podcast. But of course, we can't let you go without our little this or that question round.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. We have prepared a couple of questions for you where I will give you two alternatives and you will choose the one you prefer and maybe give us a little context as to why you've chosen that one.
All right.
Sounds good?
Okay, all right. Let's go for it.
The first one I should probably ask Elias, but I will do so once you've answered. What do you think is the best place to go out if you're a student? Downtown Long Beach or Belmont Shore?
I would go to Belmont Shore first. And yeah, I should have mentioned that as a highlight of Long Beach and a place to go. It's a really cool street. It's like one long strip called Second Street, and it's Belmont Shore, where they have outdoor dining there, all kinds of restaurants, kind of boutique-y places to shop, and also a couple bars here. There's a big sports bar and then some smaller seedy bars. There's some fun stuff, some Irish bars. But it's a great atmosphere to go mellow, you know, and it's a place for to hang out, and a lot of young people go there, and there's a diverse crowd, but it's not long, so you can walk all the way up and down and check the whole thing out. So that could be your first stop before you try the downtown. So that would be my choice first.
All right. And Elias, what about you?
Well, on this one, I would have to agree again, because yeah, Second Street, it's very, very much a place for students, I would say. So a lot of even university events that were planned by students took place there. So yeah, great restaurants, great bars, close to the beach, and yeah, just a beautiful area.
I will mention though, the downtown offers, you know, a whole different experience. So you got the larger buildings there, you have kind of upscale steakhouses, and you have a Spanish restaurant, you can watch flamenco dancing, you got some of the kind of the clubs, the actual dancing clubs. But right in front of the business district, you have this Pike's Place area, where it's right on the water in this harbor area, and you got bigger restaurants that are out there on the water. You can get a boat and cruise. You know, for $5, you get in kind of a boat taxi and go up and down the Long Beach area, and then you can enjoy this historical ship called the Queen Mary, which is almost a replica of the Titanic. So it's a great place to go, and they have restaurants, and you can actually stay there. It's a hotel as well. During Halloween, they have a special event where they create kind of a haunted ship. So that's kind of a cool place to go as well. So,
okay. Wow. That's a good tip. All right. Second question. Better way to spend an evening with friends, watching the Anaheim Mighty Ducks or the LA Lakers?
Depends on how much money you have to spend on the ticket.
You could also watch it with a group of friends in front of the TV.
Yeah.
Right. But of course, the stadium experience is different.
Sure. Stadium experience, yeah. I mean, one's a hockey, right? The Ducks is the hockey team, ice hockey. And then if you're into that, yeah, go for that. And they've had a strong team, so I'm sure it'll be a good experience. I've never been to one, but I'd like to. And then the Lakers are the Lakers. You know, they're amazing. And the Clippers are there as well. We've had organized trips where we pick up a group of students, about 50 or so, and we've seen a Clippers game right there at the stadium. And yeah, it's a great experience. However, tickets are quite spendy, so think about that. But right. Basketball is so exciting to watch anyway. It's great.
Yeah. What would you choose, Elias?
Yeah, never been to a Ducks game, but I've been to Lakers and Clippers games. So yeah, I would definitely prefer that. And also, yeah, the Lakers, their tickets are a little bit more expensive, and Clippers can get tickets for a fraction of the cost sometimes. So definitely a less expensive way to spend the evening.
So if you don't have a strong preference for a team, then that's a good option.
Yeah.
But if you want to see the Lakers, it's really not a good idea to get Clippers tickets. So the next question, I think, goes to Chris only, because I think Elias is going to pass. Which beach do you prefer to surf at, Bolsa Chica or Huntington?
Well, Bolsa Chica is in Huntington Beach, but it's a state beach. That's the name of the state beach in the northern part of Huntington Beach. Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
Now, I go to Bolsa Chica more than I do Huntington or down by the pier area recently, because it's a little bit more mellow. It's a more spread out area, lots of parking right there. And the wave is a little bit more mellow as well. So the waves are a little bit smaller, but better quality. So for those reasons, you know, accessibility, wave quality, and mellow, the gauge of mellowness, I guess Bolsa Chica would be my choice. But for me, you know, I can surf whatever. So I grew up surfing by the pier in Huntington. It's a little bit more competitive, but right there in downtown Huntington has everything. You got Main Street, you got breakfast places and nice restaurants and shops and everything right there. And then the pier, you can walk out and check out the sunset. So beautiful place to go anyway. But for surfing, I would probably do Bolsa first, Bolsa Chica.
All right. Then the next question, what do you more enjoy, hiking or snowboarding? I already know Elias really enjoys snowboarding, but what about you?
Yeah, for me, hiking. It's free. And
it's not as cold.
Not as cold. Yeah. I just got into hiking recently and do that with my wife a bit. And there's a lot of different spots around here to hike and various environments and ecologies to check out. So hiking for me, snowboarding, I'm afraid I'd hurt my back or my knees and tweaked out like that. And it's not like surfing. Some people might think, oh, snowboarding is just like surfing. No, it's different. That mountain is hard when you hit your head. When you crash surfing, it's just the water. It's just the water. Just hold your breath.
All right.
Good advice.
Good advice. Yeah. And then final question. If you had to choose, what would you rather do? Take a day trip to Catalina Island or a weekend trip to Palm Springs?
Awesome. That's a great question. I haven't been to Catalina in years, but it's a great little boat trip. You can take it straight from Long Beach Harbor and take a day boat out there. It's about a 45 minute to an hour boat ride straight out to the Catalina Island. And there's a lot of bars and restaurants and places to go. And the water's really nice for snorkeling and swimming around there. And you can go and take a tour of the island and check out the Wrigley, like Wrigley's gum. I'm not sure if you guys still know that.
Mm-hmm.
They have a bunch of space and wild buffalo and things to see. It's kind of, that's like a hidden gem too. Not too many people talk about Catalina Island. So it's a cool place to go. You know, even for the day or maybe stay overnight, do a weekend there. But Palm Springs as well is good. And that's about an hour and a half drive. And it's just a whole different vibe. It's super mellow, deserty, warm, upscale restaurants and bars than other shopping areas and other things to do. Not as many things to do as in Palm Springs than there are in Catalina, but it's just a different kind of vibe that is worth experiencing. Mm. The hotels there are kind of a 50s vibe, retro. Some of them are, and you can do some golf, some serious golfing, if that's what you're into out that way in Palm Springs as well. Okay. But for me, Catalina first, I'm all about the ocean.
All right. Have you visited either, during your time in California, Elias?
No, I haven't been to either one, surprisingly. Yeah. But I know people who've been to Catalina and they said it was, yeah, spectacular, just really beautiful little island. But on this one, I think I would choose Palm Springs.
You would? Just because of the drive and kind of the idea of kind of packing up and spending a couple of days instead of just going for
just
a day?
You know, the area, as Chris mentioned, 50s style buildings. I would be interested to see that, yeah.
And of course, the golf. I mean, yeah. You can't do without the golf, can you?
I mean, I'm pretty bad at it, but I enjoy playing, yeah.
Right. But it's good to know that there's still a couple of things left on your bucket list, even after having spent a full year studying at Cal State Long Beach. So
next time you come visit. Yeah,
exactly. Come back. So, all right. That was my final list of that question. I think you've kind of passed with flying colors. You've done really well. And that means we're also at the very end of our podcast episode. So all that remains for me to say is thank you for spending the past hour with us and telling us about the university, about Long Beach as a study destination, California as a travel destination, and of course, your passion of surfing. I think I've learned a lot, and I think Elias, even you, with your experience
in the area, have
learned a couple of new things. So
yeah, and it's great to be nostalgic for a moment.
Yeah. Nostalgic, yeah.
And you're going to take out the pictures tonight and just try to remember. All right. Well, again, thank you so much. Have a great rest of your day, and I'm sure we'll be in touch again before long.
Thank you so much for having me. I appreciate the chat.
Welcome.
Thanks.
Take care.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Go Beach.
Go Beach.
I'll see you here.
Bye.
Bye.
Na, ich glaube, ich weiß, wo dich dein nächster Urlaub hinführt, oder?
Oh ja, es ist ja auch schon wieder eine Weile her, dass ich in Long Beach war. Ich glaube, es wird Zeit, dass ich meine Erinnerungen wieder etwas auffrische und ja, so schaue, was es Neues gibt.
Und wie wir festgestellt haben, hast du deine Bucketlist ja auch noch nicht vollständig abgearbeitet.
Nein, ein bisschen was steht da definitiv noch drauf. Mal schauen.
Wenn auch ihr am liebsten direkt die Koffer packen und das graue Winterwetter hier in Deutschland gegen die Sonne Kaliforniens eintauschen möchtet, dann werft doch am besten gleich einmal einen Blick in unsere Shownotes zu dieser Folge.
Ihr findet dort einen Link zum Hochschulprofil der CSU Long Beach und zu den Erfahrungsberichten ehemaliger Study Abroad at the Beach TeilnehmerInnen. Außerdem haben wir euch noch einen Artikel zum Surfen in und um Long Beach sowie ein Interview mit Lukas verlinkt, der im Herbst 2019 sein Auslandssemester an der CSU Long Beach verbracht hat.
Wie immer findet ihr in den Shownotes auch unsere Kontaktdaten. Ruft uns an oder schreibt uns, wenn ihr Fragen zur CSU Long Beach habt oder euch ganz allgemein über die Möglichkeiten eines Auslandssemesters an unseren Partnerhochschulen informieren möchtet.
Wir schicken euch auch gern unsere ausführliche Bewerbungsanleitung zur CSU Long Beach mit vielen Infos und Tipps zur Bewerbung. Die Anleitung ist genauso kostenlos wie unser Beratungs- und Bewerbungsservice, da wir von unseren Partnerhochschulen für unsere Arbeit bezahlt werden.
Im Januar machen wir wieder einen Abstecher nach Down Under, denn dann wird die University of Newcastle aus Australien bei uns im Podcast zu Gast sein. Bis dahin sagen wir vielen Dank fürs Zuhören, wünschen euch frohe Weihnachten und einen guten Rutsch. Tschüss!